All right, welcome to Rathrum Bible Church this morning. For those who are home in your pajamas, resting on the couch, welcome. I hope everything's going well with you as we go ahead and honor this two-week shutdown for the coronavirus and all the stuff that's going on. We certainly want to go ahead and be proactive in bringing the Word of God to your home. So let's start out with some prayer. Father, I come to you this morning and I ask, Lord, that you'd be with all those who are at their homes today, this morning. Father, that as they open their word, as they open their scriptures, Father, you'd speak to them from the word this morning. Father, thank you for the opportunity to reach into the homes of your people, Father, and Lord, be encouraged by your word, even with all that's going on in the world right now. Lord, we desperately need you, and we need to be encouraged by your word this morning, Father. So we ask, Lord, that you'd speak to us through your scriptures. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Start this morning by having you open up to Psalm 95, if you would, in your Bible. Psalm 95 says, "Oh, come and let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand." This psalm, as we begin Psalm 95 here at Rathrum Bible Church, it really references or gives reference to the wilderness wanderings of Israel, and it may have been composed for the Feast of Booths or the Feast of Tabernacles by David himself. And a lot of people say they don't know that it's David that wrote this, but it gives some insight into that. If you go back to Hebrews, excuse me, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 7. That passage says, and again he designates a certain day, saying in David, "Today after such a long time, as it has been said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." And so in this psalm, now we see that it's probably written by David, the change of the psalmist from an invitation to praise to a warning to those who do not believe may indicate that this psalm was sung as a response, or we would call that just responsively reading or responsive reading, with a congregation offering a hymn that serves as a call to worship and prayer, verses 1 through 7, the first part of verse 7, and the Holy Spirit in the voice of the priest warning that the worshipers must not fall prey to the same hardness of heart as their ancestors in verses 7 through 11. So if we go back and compare, let's go back to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews 3. We want to compare that with what we're reading or in Psalm 95. So Hebrews 3, starting in verse 7, if we could do that. So therefore, the Holy Spirit says, "Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, 'They always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways.' So I swore in my wrath, 'They shall not enter my rest.' Beware, brethren, lest there be any of you with an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened." Man. Don't worry, folks, I'm okay. through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold to the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end, while it is said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the day of rebellion. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now, with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did... Can I get a cough drop? I got to get a cough drop here, so hang on. Now, with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness, and to whom did he swear there would not that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard, it did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he has said. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this place they shall not enter my rest, since therefore it remains that some must enter it. And those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. Again he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. So if you look at Hebrews, that account here, that's also being dealt with in Psalm 95. And this psalm is really an appeal to worship God in song and praise. Kind of a strange place to be since we're not meeting as a congregation and when we're talking about singing or, and having praise before the Lord. But it is an appeal to worship God in song and praise, to thank him for all that his salvation has given us, for the Lord is the rock of our salvation. You know, to come to him with gratitude of this salvation is should happen today. If today's the day to come to him, to believe on him and give him thanks for what he's done for us. And we'll, as we move through Psalm 95 today and through the next week or so, we'll see this. But it's just as important for believers in Christ as for the of today, as the Hebrews in the wilderness, or else it would not have been mentioned in the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. We have so much to thank God for, and we should shout it from the rooftops that we are saved by the grace of God. Now, normally I'd hear an uproar here in the congregation of amens, but you could say those at home. But you should be excited about your salvation with God, because the greatest gift in all the world that could be given to anyone is the gift of eternal life. And this is what we should be singing praises about this morning. You know, if you are listening to me today and you have a relationship with the Almighty God, have you come to him by believing in his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ? Has he delivered you from his wrath, which is soon to come on this unbelieving world? Then if you've been saved, then shout for joy. That's what he's saying here in our text. Shout for joy. Now, how many of you like to sing? That's a good question. How many of you like to sing? How many of you like to give praises to the Lord? How many of you sing to the Lord as if he were the only one listening? Singing with every fiber of your being to express your gratitude for what he has done for you as a Christian. Just think about that as you see a world in chaos today. Think about what you and I as believers in Jesus Christ can be singing about, what he's done for us. This is no time for the Christian to walk around in gloom. We are the ones with hope. We're the ones that have our eternal security established in glory in heaven. We are his sons and daughters. We are his children. We have been saved. We have found that rest that they were looking for in the wilderness. We found it in Christ Jesus. So with the chaos that's in today's world, you know, sing, sing, sing. The Christian has every reason to praise the Lord because you belong to him. And you'll notice in Psalm 95 that worship of the Lord takes on many forms. It says, "Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms." So when we come before our Lord to worship him, and you're doing that even in your living rooms or at the kitchen counter this morning because we're not here as a congregation, but as you come before our Lord to worship him, we might be filled with any number of thoughts or emotions or things like thankfulness, gratitude, appreciation. Maybe it's unworthiness, repentance, excitement. But what fills your heart this morning that you would love to sing out to God in praise for? What is it this morning? And you can look around if you're by yourself or you're with some people this morning. What is it that you would want to sing or praise God for this morning? Singing praises is one way for God's people to declare their love for God. If we were to go back to the Psalms here, and I got a list of these, I want you to see how David did this, okay? So we'll go to Psalm 27. Psalm 27, verses 4 through 6. Psalm 27, verses 4 through 6. These verses, of course, are on our website, so you can look them up to study this week. Psalm 27, verses 4 through 6. "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. And I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord." Now look how David does that. And let's continue to look at this. Psalm 28, verses 6 and 7. "Blessed be the Lord, because he has heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices." Notice that. "Greatly rejoices, and with my song, I will praise him." I hope you're even now singing songs with your family, or even as you're saying amen, or thank you, Lord, or all those things are acts of praise to God. So Psalm 63, jump over to Psalm 63 with me, verses 1 through 5. "O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. In a dry and thirsty land where there is no water, so I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall what? Notice this, my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. Now, notice, praising God with sad lips doesn't happen. We're to praise God with joyful lips. Jump over to Psalm 92, verses 1 through 4. Psalm 92, verses 1 through 4. So we're in a place where if you're a complainer, you do a lot of complaining, you need a heart adjustment this morning. Because God's people aren't complainers. Psalm 92, verses 1 through 4. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. On an instrument of 10 strings, it would say, and on the harp with harmonious sound, for you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the works of your hands. Psalm 96. Psalm 96, verses 1 through 6. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory amongst the nations, his wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Amen to that. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Psalm 100. And I love this psalm. I love them all, but I love this one. Even so, it says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with what? Singing. God expects that when we come into his presence, we have a joyful heart. It's a heart of praise. It's a heart of thankfulness. It's a heart of joy. It's a heart of singing to him. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into the gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. And we can keep going and going and going. I'll give you a few more here, but we could go all through the Psalms, all through the Scriptures to emphasize the point of singing and giving praise to God. Psalm 113, the first six verses. And I have a note in my Bible where at the end of verse 6, I write the word wow there. It says, praise the Lord, praise, O servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its going down, the Lord's name is to be, notice what it says here, it's to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God who dwells on high? Who humbles himself to behold the things that are in the heavens and in the earth? That's always amazed me. When we think about praising God, think about being thankful to him that he humbled himself. He humbles himself to behold the things that are in the heavens and in the earth. How he humbles himself to make the revelation of himself known to us is an amazing thing. We could spend more time on that at a different time. But you could go to Psalm 146, Psalm 147, and Psalm 149 and continue looking at how important it is to sing praises to God. And remember, David was a man that's after God's own heart. Now, if he's after God's heart, and you see him singing or giving praises constantly to his God, then shouldn't we be the same after God's own heart in the same way? Is our, or I could say your, worship tapping into the very heart of God this morning? You know, as you gather around the scriptures in your homes, or whether you, however you're receiving this morning, are you tapping into the heart of God with a worship that just is amazing before God? You got up, you're excited, you open your word, you're ready to hear from him. You can't wait for God to speak to you in the scriptures. You have a song on your lips. You have praise in your heart. You're full of thanksgiving this morning because in the midst of all that's going on in the world right now, you are saved. And that's amazing. Oh boy, are we tapping into the very heart of God like David was? You know, it was seen in Paul and Silas in their reaction when they were being persecuted and put in prison. I was looking at that this week. Go with me to Acts chapter 16. Acts 16. I didn't write these out because I wanted to be as normal as possible. So I have a tendency to be fast anyway, but this slows me down having to look them up. So Acts 16, verse 22 to 25. You'll see this, and I'm astonished at this, folks, how you can be this way. This is the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. But Acts 16, starting in verse 22, then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. Boy, we don't even know how difficult it is to be believers today in America. I know our brothers around the world right now and sisters around the world are suffering at great cost for the name of Christ. We're in our homes, fairly warm right now, full bellies, online getting to see old preacher preach. Wow, that's exciting. But anyway, his word's exciting, right? But imagine being beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet to the stocks. Now, how many of us would react with grumbling and complaining? I see the heart of David in the heart of these men, Paul and Silas, and listen to what it says. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying in what? Singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Now, there's something to be said there. They're giving God praise because of the privilege of being persecuted for their faith, but now they have people listening to them. One of the reasons you and I need to have praise and be singing with a joyful heart is we have an audience around us that needs to know that we are strong in times like this, that we're singing praises to the Lord, that we're not in despair because there's a virus out there that might get us. And I say that as I cough. That's really convincing. But nevertheless, look, folks, it's just a cold. It's fine. But if David of the Old Testament reacted that way and early Christians acted that way, then how much more should we today, right now, act the same way? Look at James chapter 5. Go back to James 5. James chapter 5, verse 13. James 5, 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Look at this. Let him sing what? Psalms. So are you cheerful this morning? Then sing. Sing. You know, if we were singing today as a congregation, I'd be saying, sing. And sing with a loud voice because that's what's required. Not a soft voice, a loud voice, as if you're portraying your joyfulness of what God has done with you. If you have some hymns at home, I encourage you, or some praise songs, you should spend some time as a family after this to sing a few songs. Spend some time singing some songs together. But look at Hebrews chapter 13. Go to Hebrews 13. And verse 15. Hebrews 13:15. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks in his name. Now notice this praise is to be continual. And in this text, in thanksgiving of the things he's done for us. So I could ask that again. What are you thankful for? What are you thankful for? And that should be continually offered before God with our lips. Now, our singing is not just to be directed towards God. Our singing is to be directed to each other. I've said that here at Rathrum Bible Church many times before. We could go back to Ephesians chapter 5 and look at verse 19 here. And let me start back here in verse 17. So that's Ephesians 5:17. It says, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Okay? And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, look at the result of that is speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, notice that. That, and let's also go to Colossians 3:16 while we're there in that area. Colossians 3:16. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. Whatever you do, do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So our singing is to be directed at one another, because when we look at how we sing in a congregational sense or a corporate sense, when I open my lips to sing, I'm teaching you. Psalms and hymns are tools for teaching. They teach doctrine. Okay? That's because many psalms are written as instruction, and they're used to teach one another about who? About God. We learn from the songs we sing. We learn about God through the songs that we sing. Now listen, singing is not just so we can come together and hear music and to be entertained. Singing teaches. So remember that whatever music we use is what people are learning from our lips about God. That's important to realize, okay? Because it's sad that so many people have a skewed view of God, and music has much to do with that in our culture, okay? In other words, if I'm going to sing, I'm going to sing about a magnificent God, a wonderful God, a mighty God, excuse me, about a strong God, a sovereign God. I'm not going to sing about my guy, my friend, my buddy, my son. I want to sing about a God who would cause me to fear him with respect and even from a discipline sense. I want a God who I am in awe of, not a God I'm comfortable with. And sad to say that that skewed view of God has to do with a lot of what in an American culture, in the music, has portrayed him as. So if then singing is teaching and admonishing one another, this assumes that you and I would understand what we're singing about or who we're singing about. So, because one can't sing from the heart out of love for God without understanding the words that they're saying. So just know this, that when we come together to sing, you may not have an office of being a teacher as far as what Ephesians 4 would talk about, but you are teaching the Word of God every time you open your mouth. So it would benefit us to know that what's coming out of our mouth, we understand. Okay, he's the rock of our salvation. We'll see that in Psalm 95 where it says, let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. That title occurs several times in the Old Testament. Actually, if we go back to Deuteronomy chapter 32, Deuteronomy 32, I'll show you a few places this morning where that exists. Deuteronomy 32, we'll start there, verse 15. Deuteronomy 32, 15. And you'll notice in your scriptures it says, But Jeshurun grew fat and kicked. You grew fat, you grew thick, you are obese. Then he forsook God who made him and scornfully esteemed the rock of his salvation. So you see it used there in Deuteronomy, 2 Samuel. Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 22, 2 Samuel 22, verse 47. 2 Samuel 22, 47. The Lord lives, blessed be my rock. Let God be exalted, the rock of my salvation. These terms come up in the Old Testament quite a bit. Psalm 89, go to the Psalms. Psalm 89, verse 26. It says, he shall cry to me, you are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Our text this morning, Psalm 95, says it, of course. Psalm 62. Back here to Psalm 62, right, verses 6 through 7. Psalm 62, 6 through 7. Says, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. And one more here, Psalm 121. Psalm 121, the first four verses of that psalm. Psalm 121, starting in verse 1. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. So he is, in a sense, there our salvation. But in each of these cases, the expression evokes a sense of security. Okay. He's the rock of our salvation. He's security for us. He is trustworthy, the rock-solid Savior that we have. So it's with this invitation that the psalmist would imply, let us greet our Lord. Let us come to him with a joyful shout, whose power has been manifested in the deliverance of his people with the anthems and the acclamations. Psalm 47, verse 1. Which would say, oh, clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is awesome. He is the great king over all the earth. These kind of acclamations, these kind of anthems that are sung because he's the rock of our salvation. Psalm 66, verses 1 and 2. Make a joyful shout to God, all the earth. Sing out the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. And so we have psalms like that. But during the Old Testament times, specific knowledge about Jesus had not been realized yet. So saying God is the rock of my salvation was not completely understood as to salvation through the blood of Christ. Not yet. Okay? So men would holy men of God recognize Jehovah God, creator of all things, as the rock of their salvation. Men would refer to everyday, regular types of salvation or deliverance done in physical ways, such as being delivered from enemies, disease, danger, and to those major deliverances that are specifically interpreted as being a part of God's involvement in human history. They just looked at God as that daily salvation, that daily deliverer, not really connecting it yet to the blood of Christ. Okay, Thayer's Greek dictionary says to save means to keep safe and sound, to rescue from danger or destruction. Physically, to save a suffering one from perishing, to make well, to heal, to restore to health. Spiritually, for the Son of Man is to come to seek and save that which is lost, which we'd see in Luke chapter 19. You go there to Luke 19, verse 10, Luke 19:10. Let me go ahead and read that verse to you. Starting in verse 9, and Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Salvation, that this salvation that Jesus brings, okay, for us, this side of the cross, when I look at Psalm 95 here, and I say, and it says to me, "Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation." It means more to me, this side of the cross, than God just delivering me from my daily troubles. He's the rock of my salvation. Because that salvation is such a wonderful thing to possess as a believer. It's a salvation that brings with it redemption. Back in 1 Peter, if you follow me to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19. 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct." And see, that was our conduct before Christ. Our aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. "But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." But I want you to see there how special this salvation is that comes to us, because it was bought for us with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So if Christ's blood, if that was poured out from a lamb who has no blemish and no spot in him, then folks, that's how God sees us. Isn't that an incredible salvation? That you too would be seen without spot and blemish. See, the blood of Christ didn't just cover sin. It did away with all our sin, but it even did more than that. Okay? You stand before God because of the blood of Christ without spot, without blemish. And that's an incredible place to be. That salvation is something to be sung about. Because that was a high cost to redeem us. But salvation brings with it forgiveness. If I go back to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 10, verse 43, Acts 10, 43. So to him, all the prophets, just this verse, we can look at many more verses, but for the sake of time this morning, to him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. Now notice that. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ this morning, you've already received this. You have what's the remission of sins. Okay. Matter of fact, a verse we use for communion sometimes here at Rathdrum Bible Church is Matthew 26:26. Let me just read that passage to you. That's not in any of my notes this morning, but we'll go here. "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins.'" Now, that's remission is also translated forgiveness. For the forgiveness of sins. See, this salvation that you and I would sing about this morning, which is really the context of Psalm 95, sing about how great God's been in saving you. I'm going to give God thanks this morning because I'm forgiven. Well, how much am I forgiven? If there's one sin that is not forgiven in the life of a believer, then the blood of Jesus Christ did not do what he said it would do. So if you go to Romans 1 and you say, okay, there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, he means that. He can't find any condemnation for a believer. Why? Because in the eyes of God, all sin has been paid for. You may not feel like you measure up. You may not feel as a believer like you've arrived. You may feel like as a believer that, well, that may not even be possible because it doesn't make sense to you. Well, the fact is, that's what God did. That's what he said. Okay, so when I come to him, I'm going to sing some pretty joyful songs or praises. I'm going to give him some great praise, especially of thanksgiving, because I've been forgiven. You've been forgiven as a believer. But salvation brings with it also justification. If I go to Romans chapter 3. By the way, if you don't know Christ, you don't know any of these terms I'm talking about yet. And if you want to be redeemed, you want to be forgiven, and you want to be justified to the God of the Father in heaven, then you got to come through Christ as the only avenue to get there, Acts 4:12. And as the way that, as scary as the world is right now, I wouldn't be wasting time. I would be on my knees asking God to either save me, or I would be working out my salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, I would be spending time with God, making sure that I really am a believer in Christ. These are not times to waste. These aren't times of we just have time off at work, at home, or we get together with the family because we can't go out in society or whatever. This is a time when you get on your knees and say, Lord, I need you as my Savior. I need you as my God. I need you to help me and my family in this time. I need you to save me, whatever your prayer may be. But you got to come through Christ to do those things. I'm sorry. Romans 3:24 is where I was headed. And Romans 3:24, I'm going to read down into that a little bit, starting in verse 21. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. I want you to focus on verse 24 there. Being justified what? Freely. Being justified freely. Being pronounced innocent freely. Okay? And God assured us of that when he rose from the grave. He was buried because of our sin, but he was raised for our justification, the Bible tells us. And so it is because of this and much more that the psalmist, which I believe is David, invites us to come to him today to sing to the Lord, shout for joy, shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation, coming before him with what you'll see there in the text, thanksgiving. And even though you have many things to be thankful for, let us be thankful that he has saved us this morning, that we have found this place of rest in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2, I want to take you there and then to Colossians chapter 1. Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 10. Okay, that's where we'll head first. Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. Let me read that and I'll go out right into Colossians 1, 12 through 14. Okay, so that'll be our next text, Colossians 1. 12 through 14. Okay, Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. And you, he made alive, who were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Colossians 1, verses 12 through 14. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us or transferred us into the kingdom of his of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Now, you realize as a believer in Jesus Christ, looking at those two passages, you were once dead, and he has brought you to life. Can you praise him for that this morning? He has delivered you, in looking at these two texts, from the power of darkness and conveyed or transferred you into the kingdom of his Son. Can you sing this morning with a heart of thankfulness that we're no longer in the kingdom of darkness? He has redeemed us, according to these two passages, when you were not looking to be redeemed, in order to forgive you of all your sin. Can you offer the sacrifice of praise with your own lips for such a great gift as that? When you weren't looking to be saved, he came to save you. You realize that your salvation brings with it that in the ages to come, now this is amazing, he will show you the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards you. Now, if we can't thank God or be singing songs or praising him for what he has done, have you thought about praising him for what he's still going to do? That's amazing. Okay? Now, can you sing to the Lord today? Can you shout to him with joy? Can you come before him with thanksgiving? All because he has saved you from the grasp of certain destruction that is coming on every soul that rejects Jesus Christ? And if you have salvation in Christ Jesus, I want to implore you to sing, to shout with a full heart. Spend your time thanking God for the relationship you have with Jesus. This is not a time for the church to be quiet about their salvation. This is a time for the world to see there's hope in Christ. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, come to him, believe in him, let him wash you of your sin, because the times we live in reveal that we may not have much more time for people to hear and believe the gospel. So if you don't know Christ, I implore you with Isaiah 59. Go back here to Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. I implore you to do this very, very thing. Again, I'm talking to those who don't know Christ as their Savior, who may be listening. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 18 to 20, with that text there. So Isaiah 1, 18 through 20. Come now, let us reason together. Here's God talking to the sinner, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord is spoken. This is a time, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, that you come to know him as Savior and as God. And so with that, I'm going to close in prayer. Father, thank you for our time together as a church body this day, Lord. corporately around the area, Father. I ask that you'd be with each one who's listening and watch over them, Father. Strengthen them until we can meet together. Again, Father, we praise and give thanks for this time in your word. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.